Told you that this was about fastidious believers. Fastidious is defined by the American Heritage Dictionary as possessing or displaying careful, meticulous attention to detail. Can you think of anybody in the Bible who was a fastidious believer? Raise your hand if you have just one. You can go Old Testament, New Testament. Who was a fastidious believer, Brad? Hannah? Carol?
I would suspect
Matthew. Matthew as a tax collector. Janet?
Moses
was. Ed? Job was. Dave?
Luke,
the physician. Bruce? Paul the Apostle. Let me do it this way then, because this is good. Can you tell me of any believers in the Bible who were not fastidious? That is, displaying careful, meticulous attention to detail. As a Christian, there are some. Who are they? Brad? Yeah, John Mark. But he sure became so. Carol?
Peter.
Peter? Yeah, at one point. Janet? Demas? Yeah. My point is this. Most believers are fastidious believers. That is in the Bible. This is a question that does not require an outward response, but just something for you to think about. Compared to Bible times and those who are in the Bible, how many believers today are fastidious? That is, possessing or displaying careful, meticulous attention to detail. Not at their job, not at school, but in the way they live their Christian life. Joseph was fastidious. Moses was fastidious. Noah was fastidious. You go through the Bible, very careful. Somebody mentioned Job. Job eschewed evil. He turned away from it. He was fastidious. Even things that others thought maybe that they could do, Job wouldn't do it. And so I want you to see something in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 15, verses 14 and 15 of the book of Exodus. You know, we went through the entire book of Exodus, and I don't think I even addressed this. I didn't see this at that time. But as I read my Bible, I pick up on things, and it's just in one verse. But this is when God had given the instructions to the children of Israel regarding their sudden departure from Egypt upon the death of the firstborn, and he included this directive. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. And this day, talking about the Passover, shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, it doesn't mean that when a soul is cut off, it's not talking about his death. It's talking about him being separated from the children of Israel. So this is pretty serious. What was serious? Whoever would eat leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day. Now, You read this, and if they had leaven in their house, they could reason. Well, if I have it in my house, and if I don't eat it, wouldn't that accomplish God's intention? As much as not having it in my house, as long as I don't eat it, when you read this, that's God's intention, because he said, whoever eateth leavened bread, that soul should be cut off from Israel. So, would it be safe for someone to have the leaven in their house, although God said don't have it in your house, as long as they didn't eat it? Well, we would respond, well, they obeyed. They didn't eat it. But they partially obeyed. Because what did God say? Ye shall put away leaven out of your house. Well, what's it going to hurt to have leaven in your house as long as you don't eat it? Critics might say, hey, as long as I don't eat it, I can have it in my house. Why should I have to put it out of my house? The warning for eating anything leavened had serious consequences. So to make absolutely sure that there would be no leaven in any bread, God comes up with an extreme command. Just get it out of your house. Just don't even have it there. We would reason, God is an extremist. I don't need to go to that detail. As long as I don't eat it, Lord, I'm obeying you. And we would say, no, you're not. Because he said, get it out of your house. Don't even have it in your house. And people would say, that's extreme. But those who want to carefully avoid any contamination, who want to carefully obey God's commands, should not be viewed by other believers as extremist. Think about that. We often look at those people who try to be so careful about what they do or not, or don't do in their Christian life. We say, man, he's an extremist. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Have you ever noticed how those who have peanut allergies won't eat any other products when the facility may have had peanuts in it? Those extremists, we would say. No. When you have that kind of an allergy, you could have life-threatening consequences. So they see the importance of having peanuts out of the house completely. That's what I hate about flying anymore. I don't get peanuts. It's always those little Bravetta. What are those things called? Those little, they're good, but they're not peanuts. Some unfailingly avoid sugar in what they eat and drink, to the point that some even refrain from having a soft drink for years. I remember when Benjamin was doing this for, I think it was 7 years. He was a teenager for 7 years. He would not drink anything carbonated. Nothing. 7 years. Well, that's pretty disciplined. Others, you may know, carefully avoid something physical, because it's so important to you, and you've got some kind of a goal you're trying to meet. And so in so doing, in the physical realm, you're very careful. I'm not going to eat that. Thank you for offering that, but no thank you. And that's fine. I would look at that and say, okay, there's somebody who's serious about what they're doing. There's somebody who's serious about losing weight. There's somebody serious about their health. And when you look at a most current situation, you know, during the pandemic, people are still saying we're in it. People like never before carefully washed their hands and avoided certain places. People became outright legalists. Legalists. And avoiding people who might have been exposed to somebody who might have been infected. And when everything first came up, we did that on purpose because we didn't know anything about it. And we were very legalistic. We were fastidious about it. And yet you've got professing Christians who engage in doubtful practices. The beverage use of alcohol. You know how to never, ever, ever, ever become a drunkard? Don't ever, 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 ever take an alcoholic drink. And you will never become an alcoholic. You will never. Oh, that's extreme. That's legalistic. No, that's careful. There are cases when I believe the Bible allows for alcohol to be consumed medicinally. But then for people to begin drinking it socially and so forth, I, you're bordering on becoming a fool. Actually, you are a fool. Professing Christians who aren't careful in how they dress, who think it's okay to gamble. Because all these things are, well, that's so subjective. And all of a sudden they become super conservative and objective in requiring everybody else to practice what they thought should be required of all of us regarding a pandemic or regarding something else. People became fastidious. So why is it that we can't see how important it is to be as fastidious with physical restraints, but remain indifferent to spiritual limitations? When we know that the physical is temporary, and we know that the spiritual is eternal, again, 1 Timothy 4:8 well applies. For bodily exercise profiteth little. The physical realm, yeah, be careful. Exercise, and this is in the exercise realm, bodily exercise profiteth little. But what is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come? Godliness. Godliness is so much more important. It has not only consequences in this life, but eternal consequences. And yet we're not as careful when it comes to the spiritual. And so I am simply putting forth to you this afternoon how that we as Christians ought to be at least as fastidious spiritually as we are when it comes to the physical. Some people who are so, I'm going to keep using the word, fastidious about taking their vitamins, they won't miss a day. Got to have my vitamins. Got to do it. Got to go to the exercise. Got to go to the gym. Have to go. Don't exercise the same kind of discipline when it comes to the spiritual life, because that's extremist and that's legalistic. No, it's not. It's like, you know what? I'm not supposed to eat leaven, so I'm not even going to have it in my house, in obedience to what God said. So why would one believer criticize another believer who totally abstains from alcohol? Why would one believer criticize another believer who is very careful to avoid going to even a movie theater or playing with a deck of cards? Who takes 1 Thessalonians 5:22 seriously, abstain from all appearance of evil? Who listens to what it says in Exodus 23:7, where it says, keep thee far from a false matter? Who, according to 2 Corinthians 6:3, will give no offense in anything that the ministry not be blamed? Who reads about Job, who eschewed evil, feared God, eschewed evil, literally turned away from or leaned away from evil? Who positively thinks, as Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Fastidious believers, fastidious about what I will think about, what I will not think about. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, people today are very careful not to offend somebody who's woke. By now, I think everybody knows what the term woke means. I remember when I mentioned this like 2 years ago, everybody looked at me like, what is woke? Now we know. And people are very careful not to offend somebody who's woke. But when the woke offend us, it's okay. You ever been around somebody who takes God's name in vain? As a fastidious believer, does that bother you? Just last week, a guy came to do our backflow preventers. There's two of them here in the baptistry, one out there for the lawn, and two in the sprinkler room. It's to keep water that has come in from going back into the city system and you drinking it. So we're required every year to have that system checked. Now that's fastidious in and of itself, but you can see why. But I'm talking about this guy. He came in. When he was done, he came into my office and he laid down on my desk the bills for it. And he started talking about something. And he says, I hope to hell, blah, 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 blah. And I stopped him and I said, you hope to what? And he goes, oh, forgive me. You know, he goes like this. I said, you know what? You've got a problem. If you hope to hell, what does that say? And he got really serious and very apologetic. Why? Nobody has ever, probably ever, said anything to him about it. I tell you, we have more opportunity today to say things than ever before because people are constantly doing things and saying things. I wasn't mean about it. I just said, you hope to what? I said, that's serious. Hell is serious. Man, that led to me bringing them out here, getting the gospel tract, giving it to them. I said, you need to read this. You need to, your relationship with God is not right. You need to read this. And hey, folks, take opportunity to use what the world is going pell-mell after today to confront them about it and let them know, hey, that's serious what you're doing. But if we're not fastidious, we're just going to become used to it until we become lukewarm. So, you may not have any leaven to eat, but it's in your house. And if it's in your house, that in and of itself is disobedience. Because God said, don't eat it. Don't even have it in your house.